Welcome to What's New in Microsoft 365 and Teams for the 1st to the 18th of June 2022. I'm Mark Thompson from Super Simple 365 and I'm going to take you through this session. We have updates on Forms, Lists, Outlook, SharePoint, Teams, and then we're going to look around Microsoft 365. Just a couple of updates there, I think. So let's get straight into it. Microsoft Forms, one to watch, the ability to convert Word and PDF quizzes into Microsoft Forms. So it'll be interesting to see whether there's some way to import an image or whether it's just going to be digital versions of them. Even if it's just the digital versions, I think it'd be great to be able to draft them out, because whenever I do a form, I draft it out in Microsoft Word and then create a form from that. I think this is going to be a really good time saver and good for collaboration as well. When you're working on a big form with lots of people, and you're working out the branching and you're working out where to have different pages, I think this will be a really nice addition for that. Now, the date on this was penciled in as June. I cannot see that happening. So let's look out for that. I'll give you an update when the time comes. Okay, getting on to lists. Delayed the custom list templates, the ability to add custom templates from your organization. Let's just zoom in here and have a quick look. You see this tab here? But it's been pushed back quite a bit, hasn't it? It'd be interesting to see if we hear why that's been pushed back so long. But that's been pushed back to November this year. List calendar. So it's been, I think, for the last two or three sessions, I've been telling you about changes to lists calendars. Anyway, conditional formatting. So if certain conditions are met that you set, then you're going to get different colors. I think for you folk who use lists and use the calendar view, at a glance, that's going to be real good for you. Okay, so a couple of nice ones for Outlook. New location for key functions and direct access to other Microsoft 365 apps in Outlook. So think about when you open Outlook and you look at your email, your calendar, your contacts. They're all in the bottom left-hand corner, aren't they, for the full version of Outlook. For people whose organizations have let them use the coming soon button here, top right-hand corner, you may have this, it's worth checking. You can see what's coming soon and you can turn that on temporarily just to try it. So people have seen this for a little while. This is what's happening. You can see here that all the main parts of Outlook are moving to the top left-hand corner, but you can see this person here, they've got to-do pinned up here as well. Anyway, so you're able to customize it. You can have it however you want it. And I quite like that. Let's just go back a sec. I quite like that because your eye is often looking at the top left-hand corner for all the other features, for looking at where your folders are. So I think that's quite a nice change. Due mid-July to late September. Because of the nature of how companies and organizations roll out the full version of the software on their desktops or on their laptops, you might find that might be a little bit longer for you. So quite a big window, mid-July to late September. It might even be a little bit longer for where you work. For those of you who like the mobile version of Outlook, you see that you're going to get the feed coming through to your screen as well. You can turn it off if you want to as well. Loop components are delayed a little bit. So looking at the targeted release users, and if that's you, you know that's who you are. But for the rest of us, we're looking at July for loop components. Now, I think this is quite interesting. So for the 4.5 years or so that I've been working Microsoft Teams, maybe 5 years, people have been talking about moving away from email, moving away from Outlook, and focusing very much in Teams. And that message is still right. It's still a much better way of working. But it's almost as if Microsoft are accepting that Outlook is a hub for some people's work. So think about Outlook. So let's add these loop components where even though you sent the email, people can still edit that thing, whether it's tasks or paragraphs or the new Q&A, the new voting table. So you've got that. You've got the ability to react and respond and send sentiments in relation to emails and give them a thumbs up, a smiley face, a frowny face, that type of thing. Also, coming to email to Outlook is adding other applications into it. So it feels to me a bit like Microsoft accept that it is one of the hubs for collaboration. Be interested to see what their long-term plan for Outlook is, but it definitely feels like there's a bit of a shift and accepting that is where some people work. Okay, let's talk about SharePoint and planner cards to show in your SharePoint team activity feed. So I'm a big fan of Planner. I probably go into it every single day, but I'm not oblivious to the fact that it can be a little bit outside, out of mind. And this is going to help with that. So you can see here that on a SharePoint site, we've got a planner plan associated with it. And there's a task here for somebody. Now, this is for items which are assigned to you by other members and are due within 2 days. You can see that it's been created here. And now it's appearing on, let's just zoom in and give you a look, it's appearing on this person's activity feed. Now what's curious to me, you can say here, assigned to you by other members. So if I've assigned it to myself, does that mean that's not going to show up? Or is that just like some loose use of language there by Microsoft? Because if I've assigned it to myself, I'd still like to see it. Anyway, let's see how this is going to look. So this is due late June, early July this year. Okay, and this one is updates to the Teams channel sites. So they display site permissions. So this is about the ability to see the permissions that relate to the SharePoint site that is part of your Microsoft team and your channel sites behind the scenes there. So it's going to show as read-only, and you can see here that we can, depending on whether you've got the rights, you can change how members can share, and I think that's useful there to be able to just have nice easy access to some of those settings. Due early to mid-July this year, and I think for engaged users who want to see what permissions are, but also for the site owners, I think that is a really nice change. Curious that they've put this on hold, create from the SharePoint app bar. So top left hand corner, you know that this a few months ago became the place to access these other areas, but also they introduced the ability to create things in here. So sites, documents, presentations, they're stopping the rollout for the people who've already got it. They're going to take it back. Now I can see maybe they want easier controls over the site, SharePoint site. I don't know why they've withdrawn it, but they say they're going to bring it back. So I'll update you when that comes back. A quick update to the site logo management. So you can see here, nice easy access to your logo in your site. Large folder delete on OneDrive and SharePoint. This is, when I say large, I'm talking about 10,000 items. So you couldn't delete that folder. That functionality to be able to delete these large folders might be as late as July for you. Inline playback. So this is one to watch. Inline playback are videos in the Hero web part. So this just means that people can look at your page, they can start a video, either watch or just listen, but still be looking at other assets on the page. Maybe the video talks about other stuff on the page. That is coming. So pencil in for June. Folks, I can't see that happening, but let's just see whether it does or not. I'm going to pause and catch my breath. We've got quite a few things to cover in Teams. So let's get started. The ability to join a meeting by a meeting ID and passcode. I talked about this maybe a year ago, maybe longer ago than that. But anyway, so it's finally here. We've got, or almost here. You can see here that we've got a meeting, and in there is the ability to join the meeting by meeting ID and a passcode. So let's look at where you can use this. So first of all here, you can see that we can just use it on the desktop. We've got the ability there to join my meeting ID. If we're looking at it on the browser, now I do know an organization with lots of people who don't have Teams on their device. So this is how they would join. So they can just follow the link and put the details into the browser. Or on the mobile app, you can join using that code as well. So that's due early to mid-July this year. Teams Connect shared channels. So this has been long awaited, and I'm going to slow down just a little bit to tell you a little bit more about this. So this is a new channel type. At the moment we have standard and private channels. So remember, just to recap, a standard channel means that anybody in the team can access the chat and all the assets associated with that. A private channel, people who are part of your team that have been added to the private channel. They're the only people who can see the channel and can see the chat in there. Now, it comes with its own file area, but it doesn't come with plan and all that sort of stuff. But so it's quite limited, but it's private. So really popular channel type. And this new one is the shared channel type. Let's work through this a little bit. It means that you can invite individuals or entire teams to just that one channel. So maybe we have HR, and they have a team that they work with. I don't know recruitment. Say that they're not in the same actual Microsoft team, but they've got a channel that's I don't know about new recruits or something, and they want people from recruitment to be able to collaborate inside this one channel. They don't want to invite them to the whole whole team. They don't want to break any permissions in relation to the files that are in there, so they can invite them just to this one channel. And at the other end, the one of the benefits is that they can access that channel without, and assuming this was someone from another organization, without having to switch organizations. So that's probably a good time to say these can be people inside your organization who are just in other teams, or people outside your organization. Now you're going to find that there's some work had to be done in the background and some permissions, and you might find your organization a little bit delayed with this while they sort out the governance and all that really important stuff. A lot of us find it a little bit boring, but it's super important and you have to understand it. So you need to be patient with them while they sort all that stuff out. So mid-July to mid-August this year. Now, an organization I work with, they're saying that they're already seeing it. Now, I don't know whether they're in some kind of early ring or they're getting early, but they said they've already got it. There's quite a bit to read on this. Hop over to the blog and you'll see, scroll down to the team section and you can go to the full story and read about it. This is definitely worth you spending 5 minutes going over to the blog and having a read of it. Slightly lighter topic, the ability to chat with self. Now, let me just tell you how I think you would use this. I sometimes send myself an email just to remind myself about something or to do something. Now, I know there's more sophisticated ways of reminding yourself, but I find sending an email just really quick and easy. And this is one of those things. So you can just start an all chat, put yourself in the to field, and you'll send yourself that message. So I think just a really light touch way of reminding yourself to do something, chat yourself, at Mark, do XYZ tomorrow, and when I've done it, I just hide the chat and it's done. So I'm looking forward to it. I know workarounds already exist for this, but this is going to be a lot easier. Due mid to late June this year, so I checked before we came on. I don't have it, but I'm looking forward to that anytime soon. Next up, we've got Teams button long press to raise your hand during meetings. So if you've got a Teams certified device, it means that you can long press on the Teams button and it'll put your hand up, and then you press it again, it'll put it back down. That's available for you now. So I know I've already talked about this in the Outlook section, but I've just raised it here in case someone skipped the Outlook. And the reason I've raised this this thing about loop components going to Microsoft Outlook emails is that you can copy between Teams and Outlook. So I know I'm repeating myself, but if you're just watching the Teams section, look out for that and the ability to copy them across. Casting from Teams desktop client. Let's just zoom in so you can see what I'm talking about. So it's just the ability there to cast from your client into a Teams room, being pushed back a little bit if that applies to you. Also pushed back is the ability to restore your deleted tags. So tags are super useful, but if someone deletes it by accident, they're just gone, okay, and there's no way to get them back until August, actually, now. You get the ability to, for 30 days, you can recover those deleted tags. Now, people have been waiting for this for the longest time. Co-organizer role in Teams meetings functionality has arrived. You can see here that in a Teams meeting, this is a screenshot from mine a couple of days ago. So the ability to choose co-organizers for your participants. You can select up to 10 and they can help you with your meetings. So an example of how you might use this. So my colleague Kirsty, she helped somebody at one of Inform's clients set up like a mini conference where the person that was organizing it created multiple meeting rooms, and some of them were running consecutively. So the organiser was running one, Kirsty was helping in another one, but there was a problem with it. Now, because she wasn't an organiser, she couldn't resolve the problem. She knew how to do it, but she just couldn't do it. She couldn't speak to the person because they were presenting. So perfect example of when you might have a co-organiser role. Or maybe you organise meetings for somebody else or vice versa. Anyway, folks, when next time you create a meeting, go into the meeting options and see whether you've got that. That is probably the highlight of our session today. The naming convention between teams, channels, and corresponding SharePoint sites. This just means when you change the name of channel, the folder that corresponds to that channel will get renamed behind the scenes. Now, think about all the changes I've told you about with OneDrive recently, where you can go to your OneDrive, go to more places, then you see all of your teams files areas just in that one place on OneDrive behind the scenes. That's when this sort of thing matters. When you access those files not through Teams but another way, maybe through SharePoint or OneDrive. So this is gonna be quite a welcome update. The new Fluent Emoji Style is a little bit delayed. It should be here by the end of the month. It's quite a nice one to look out for. So we've got a handful of ones to watch here. So if you see this telescope icon, that means that it's a little bit further out. It means that the details are a little bit sketchy. And what's definitely sketchy is the timeline. So some of these have got June penciled in from Microsoft, and I'm not believing a single one of them, but that's what they're saying for now. Anyway, this first one, timeline markers in Teams meeting recordings for when you left and joined the meeting. So you join the meeting, someone's recording it, and you have to leave that meeting for whatever reason. When you go back and look at the recording, it's going to show you when you joined and when you left, and you know that those are the parts that maybe you need to watch. So just a little tiny update, but really nice. The ability to choose your preferred download section for files in Teams, penciled in for July. So it just means you can set your download folder for anything in Teams that you download. Moodle Learning Management System integration. So for those of you who are engaged with LMSs, that should be useful. Cameo in PowerPoint Live. So this is just when you're doing, when you're using PowerPoint Live inside a Teams meeting and presenting, it means that somewhere on your slide, you might have like a little blank area that you set up that you don't put other content in, and you can set your camera to pick you out and maybe get rid of your background and show you just in that area. So you can have that anywhere you want. So you can put that anywhere. So it uses like your Cameo in that. So I think that's going to be quite nice. Now I know that there's functionality like that, but I think the thing is that you can move it around. There's a lot more control that you can have over it. Another one to look forward to is ability to start a Teams chat with distribution groups, email enabled security groups, and Office 365 groups. Just a quick note on that, remember the chat limit of 250 people, that will still apply. So it'd be interesting whether you get an error. Does it just show the first 250 people? Would it flash up an error message? It'd be interesting to see how it handles that. Let's have a quick look around Microsoft 365. For those of you who work on the go and use a mobile app, you got the Office app, that is. You got the ability to make recordings. See here, let's just have a quick zoom in. See if I can get both in at once. Okay, so on the first screenshot here, you see this new voice button. And there we're talking into our machine, and there are the recordings, and it does voice to text for you. So that might be super handy if you like taking notes that way, but look out for that. Actually, it's available now, apparently. Viva inline suggestions when composing an email or meeting invitation, Outlook on the web. And what's interesting here is what it's actually suggesting. Track email open rates, see how many people are opening your email. So that type of stuff looks quite interesting. And this, I think, may be organization specific, but it's just interesting the way Viva's marching forward. Okay, folks, we are getting towards the end of our time together. Trying to keep it a little bit concise this week, even though there's quite a few things for Teams, weren't there? Let's talk about Comsverse. So Comsverse is happening Wednesday the 29th and Thursday the 30th of June down at Mercedes World in the UK. They still have some tickets left. Now, I'll show you the price of tickets in a minute. When I think that you get 2 days of education, you get your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, alcoholic drinks if you drink, games, entertainment, and I think it's £59. I'll have a look in a second and I'll show you. It is absolutely fabulous value, not just for the team's education and the people that you meet. The venue is amazing. How they've got any tickets left is just staggering to me. I assume it's just maybe people a little bit slow after COVID getting back out there. I don't know. It is, if you're even remotely interested, get booked up because I'm amazed that there's any tickets left. Anyway, on a Thursday at 9:30 a.m. British Summer Time, I'm doing a 25-minute session on setting up a great Teams meeting. So great Teams meetings, I think, start with a couple of things: a great invitation and having your settings right. So once that's all done, the rest of your meeting hopefully will flow well. Of course, I do another session on engaging and interactive sessions, but this is the foundations. So I'm going to talk about why you should bother, Teams versus Outlook versus channel meetings. So when you're setting them up, what are the differences? Setting people's expectations in advance, different categories. What do you do with breakout rooms, the meeting options. I'm going to go through every single meeting options, talk about some gotchas. I'm going to talk about new features, recent, new and coming soon, like the ability to add co-organizers. I'll talk about that, and the new polls app, which is going to take over from the forms app. Even if you can't make it in person, you can sign up for free. In fact, let's just have a look at that. You can sign up for free, and then you can watch that session live. So we have a quick look at this. So £65, I said 59, didn't I? I apologize. So £65, and you see everything you get there. It's and the prizes, by the way, the prizes are good. Definitely worth every single penny that you would spend on that. But if you can't make it, folks, then you can just join online for free. So if you're interested in that, get signed up. Put a note in your diary, in your calendar. Just block out half an hour in your working day and come and join me. Really great to see some people who watch these videos and read the blog, either come in person or come virtually. Okay, folks, this really is it. Remember to look out for content on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, your podcast player, the blog, the newsletter. Look me up using @supersimple365 or just do a search for supersimple365. Please subscribe however you're watching or listening. That's it. We're done. Hope to see you at Comsverse, and I hope you found that helpful.